Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Between Two Chairs. My name is Fernando Arencibia, and with me is the very creative, and I'm going to tell you, really, she is the producer of Between Two Chairs podcast, because she's always coming up with very creative ideas on what we are going to talk about. So today we have really a very special episode, and I will not do it any justice by introducing it. So I'm going to let Jennifer explain to both the people that are listening and the co-host, myself, what in the world are we talking about today?
So I try to mix things up and
you do.
Keep it not too dry.
In the most wonderful way.
The Miami Film Festival starts today and it runs through April 13th. So I thought it would be appropriate and a little out of our regular, you know, commercial real estate topics and themes to have some fun with movies. So, of course, it has to have something to do with real estate. So I decided on real estate movies, and not just any real estate movie, but one that I had never seen but hear about all the time, which is Glengarry Glen Ross.
A blast from the past.
Yes, a blast from the past. All-star cast. I mean, oh my gosh. I was so excited when I saw the cast. It's Al Pacino, Jack Lemmon, Alec Baldwin, Ed Harris, Alan Arkin, Kevin Spacey. I'm sure I'm missing a few others, but very young, so it definitely dates us. So I was super excited when I saw it, and then I'm like, I know why I never saw this movie. So it was one of those movies that wasn't a fan of, but I had so many aha moments because I had never seen it before. And you know, for those of you young people, there are going to be things in there that you're not going to recognize. You know, payphones. There were payphones. Everybody was running around with a beeper and a payphone. You know, what is that? And only the cool, high producing had like a cell phone that looked like the size of a shoe or a waffle iron next to his head. But so that I could relate with, because when I started real estate, we would get beeper calls, and then it was running around trying to find a payphone. But anyway, so going back to some things that, you know, that I've heard but had no idea where it came from, was coffee is for closers only. I'm like, I didn't know Alec Baldwin is the one who is, you know,
who
famous
said that?
For that.
Oh,
so
that's funny.
And that and ABC always be closing again, you know, from this movie. So I thought it obviously had a big impact on the real estate world, because those quotes are still in effect today. Now you're welcome. You know where they came from. But
I think, you know, it's going to be interesting, because some people are going to, you know, there are a few scenes in the movie that are very, very memorable. It's based off of a play by David Mamet, who. So it is extremely well written. The dialogue is incredible, and I think that's where a lot of those those memories come from. It definitely is an 80s film, right? With the bravado of sales, there is that, you know, undercurrent of Wall Street and that entire ambiance that is applied to it, and definitely feels like you and I always speak about this boiler room mentality, right? Of dialing for dollars and about
it was right. It made the whole movie made me so uncomfortable.
Right.
Also,
exactly.
No women, not a single woman in the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it mostly takes place inside an office, with the exception of a couple of scenes that are outside at the local bar. So it's
right.
I mean,
well,
super creative.
Think about it. It's an adapted play.
Right, of a play.
So
exactly.
They kind of, you know, so yeah, they, you know, there were only two or three sceneries really where everything takes place.
Right.
I thought that, you know, when you first told me about this, and of course, I remember the movie. I remember the memorable scene at the start of the movie with Alec Baldwin, who's only in it for this one scene, but has became incredibly memorable. A, always B, B, C, closing. Always be closing, for sure. Aida, attention, interest, decision, action.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, you know, it does have this thing. There's the whole brass balls.
Component. I don't even remember that one. I do have the attention.
How do you not remember that one? That's crazy.
Because the whole movie,
it made you uncomfortable.
It was ick.
Right.
It's icky.
Right. And I understand. I understand where you're coming from. So, this is really when I rewatched the movie in advance of this episode that we are recording. You know, one of the things that I really found is that it is a glimpse as to what the portrayal or the portrait that has been made about what sales is like, what real estate sales is like, in a very charged environment. And so there's a lot of things to break down. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I found really interesting is there is a sign at the top of the, in front of the manager's office that says salesmen are born, not made. And, you know, I'm watching this movie now, I'm seeing it from a very different perspective. Right. And I think that's a great place to start, because really what the movie really is sharing is these are some concepts or ideas of what sales is like. I think it's very caricaturish of what it really is like. Maybe that's the way it was always, you know, back in the 80s, mm-hmm. but I don't see that. So one of them is that I think a lot of people refrain from being in a job that is a sales job because they feel like, well, I'm not a salesperson, you know, mm-hmm. from that mentality. And I think that comes from that idea of, you know, salesmen are born, not made, which I don't subscribe to
right,
at all.
Neither. Right? Yeah. Right. Right.
And I think part of it is because of the perception that people have about sales. But I'm more of the mindset that in every position that you have, in every job that you have, there is a component of sales that is involved. If you are a research scientist, you have to convince a group of people to give you money to conduct your research. You know, right. that's sales. You know, it doesn't matter in what capacity or what job you have. There is an element of every position that you have that is about sales. You sell yourself when you're going in front of a job interview, you know, and there's a component here where I feel that, yeah, I don't think that this is a trait where that people are born with. I think that it is something that you develop.
Well, and I think it might have also, to your point, that this film was in the 80s. I mean, maybe that's what, and this was more a development real estate office, right? They were right. selling land yeah. and new development subdivisions, etc. Definitely not a relationship-based business. No. Very shystery, very much. I mean, you can right. see where, if that's how they conducted business, why some of the laws to protect the consumer came in. But there was that's one line true. At the very beginning that it's funny because now that, you know, we have our own brokerage and we're the ones interviewing yeah. and hiring agents and discussing our value to them and what we offer. I thought this was so funny. It's like, they don't give you the leads. They don't give you the support. They don't give you blank. I can't say the word online, yeah. but I thought that was so funny because that is definitely the salesman's mentality. And I don't think that's where real estate brokerage is today. Everybody will tell you that it's a relationship-based business, that even if you get leads or you're doing your cold calling leads or however it is that you get leads, that you need to have your CRM, that your CRM is the basis of all of that, where most of your business is going to be generated from. So I thought that was interesting, too, because to your point of both that quote and the salesmen are born, yeah. not made, most of the people and the ideas that we subscribe to and a lot of the new younger broker firms that are run by people who used to be at older, more established brokerage firms say, you know, give me a hardworking, hungry person and I can teach them sales. I can teach them the process. I can teach them that. But I can't teach motivation, drive, hunger, mm-hmm. Those characteristics. So. Yeah.
The first act of the movie is all about, it's really all focused on the leads. Mm-hmm. These leads are crap. They're terrible. They want us to close them, but you know, I've seen these leads before. They're regurgitated leads. And there's an entire discussion about, no, the leads are not bad. You're bad. And it's really interesting because I was watching a movie. My wife was sitting next to me doing something else. And she was like, oh my God, enough with the leads. Like, why do they keep bitching about the leads? Like, oh my God, they don't stop talking about it. And it is true. And it is very interesting because I do find there's a set of skills that you have to develop in order to grow and establish your own business that you will have a hard time developing if all you are looking for is to be fed leads and to follow a very structured way of following up on those leads. You know, you're missing out on the conversion and you're basically allowing someone else to have control over your business, right? Because they're feeding you and now you succumb to that, right? So there's an element of cost. There's a cost to always following the lead instead of building a business through relationships that can outlast all other businesses, right? So yeah, I thought that there was a huge preoccupation with the leads instead of, you know, really understanding what it is that they were selling, what it was trying to accomplish.
Or who their audience was.
Like who, correct.
You know, somebody just filled out a form online, they went after him and after him, right. And after him and after him. And then the scene where the poor guy's, what, you know, the guy comes in and he'd already written a contract and paid a deposit and he tells his wife and his wife is like, go break that contract right now. And the behind the scenes dealing to try to keep the guy,
to try to fool him into staying in that contract. Well, and basically trying to get him to a point where he was past his 3 days
right where he went hard, so he couldn't refute.
Yeah, that
a lot of that, unethical behavior.
I think that's where a lot of the ickiness, you know, comes from when you see it. It's just a terrible portrayal of land sales, you know.
Yeah, but there was my favorite line in the whole movie was delivered by Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
And it's, will you go to lunch?
Will you just go to lunch?
Will you just go to lunch? And it made me think, okay, now, you know, I would have liked to have seen Act Two, which is when they start going to lunch and taking people to lunch and everything. And that made me think of the book Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi, which says that you should use those eating coffee happy hour moments to create relationships and dig deeper, not to be selling, but to create those relationships. So
definitely a glimpse into past that, you know, I think there are outfits, not so much in real estate, but I think in sales overall, there are outfits where that is the focus. You have a lot of other industries where that still is the approach, you know, boiler room, dial for dollars. It doesn't matter what you say, as long as you get the deal done and as long as you get the deal closed. There's definitely a lot of bravado, a lot of machismo, a lot of flaunting of money as an equation of success. I think Alec Baldwin in the beginning, you're a great father, who cares? You know, you're like, you know, yeah. You're a wonderful husband, it doesn't matter. You know, like the only thing that matters is closing the deals, how much money do I make? You know, what kind of watch am I wearing and what kind of car am I driving? You know, so it was definitely, it's a glimpse to that life where, interestingly, you know, a lot of the conversation that we've been having at our firm and our family of companies has been this holistic approach to tending to the agent and the wholeness of the agent, that one component is not enough to make you satisfied with life, right? That there has to be a balance, that there has to be engagement. And, you know, so I just really, it was interesting because we just had that meeting and then the juxtaposition of the conversations we were having to the conversations that are being had in this movie are so far apart. And I think that there's definitely been a great evolution. It made me think, and in this case, you know, it's different because I was thinking about the source of these leads. So people responded to an ad in the paper, mm-hmm. right? How did they respond to an ad in the paper? They probably called the number, or they maybe, you know, you remember how in the newspaper, sometimes you would be able to cut out a section, fill out your name, put it in an envelope and send it in. And then that was your way of responding. So there was an action. It wasn't just like I'm online and I'm clicking through it, right? There was an action on behalf of the people that are expressing. And, you know, and now they're, what it was gravitated to was this idea of when the do not call list, you know, comes out, and this idea of, you know, people were just getting annoyed of getting phone calls at night when everybody had a landline. And you would get these calls and you had no number. There was no number recognition. So you would answer and then it would be a telemarketer trying to sell you something. And then these new do not call rules began to make themselves into effect. It limited that level of interaction and people had to get creative. And we've seen people get creative. And now it's all over the internet. Anywhere you're going, there's always a pop-up, something that is trying to sell you. But what I find interesting is that when some of these rules come out, it is in those limitations where you get to be more creative and things, you know, you get to become better at making connections, mm-hmm. right? Because you have to overcome, you know, the cocoon that everybody is living in where, okay, I'm protected here. You can't come in here. And the only way you do that is you do that by building relationships,
right?
You know, which is why that is such an important skill set, really, for if you have the mindset that I'm going to have a very long business, whether your business is real estate or anything that has to do with interaction with the public.
Right. Well, in closing, I wanted to bring up some other real estate movies because even though, yes, this is fun and whatever, we have ethical issues that we deal with, such as in this movie, there's negotiation skills, there's brand awareness, there's everything. So I wanted to thank Bella Virtual, which is a virtual staging for real estate company that I found online, okay. Google, for this list of the top 10. So The Wolf of Wall Street, The Founder with Michael Keaton. I haven't seen that one. I have seen The Wolf of Wall Street. The Apartment, also with Jack Lemmon. That's an oldie. Real Estate 2008 is a movie. Beetlejuice. I've seen that. I'm not sure how that really is a real estate movie.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I guess the house. And
they buy the house. Then when they find the ghost, they want to develop it into a, you know.
That's true.
They want to develop the neighborhood.
That's the thinking outside
surrounding,
the box
right.
real estate.
Exactly. So, yeah.
A Place in the Sun, another oldie, an actual one called The Realtor from 2021. You Don't Get to Make 500 Million Friends Without Making a Few Enemies, The Social Network, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Well, I'm going to have to watch a lot of movies. Other People's Money, and that's it.
So I've seen The Secret Life. So, yeah, there's a few there that I'm scratching my head.
Yeah.
But there are a few that are not included there. The Big Short.
Right, The Big Short was on another
Wall
list.
Street,
yeah.
Wall Street 2
right,
is
right.
very much about what, you know, the housing crisis.
Right.
You know, there's a few there.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot that aren't
The
there,
Secret
but...
Life of Walter Mitty, I don't know how that relates to real estate. That's really interesting. It's a great movie. It's a great story, number one, but it's a great movie. And I forgot who's the lead actor there. Oh, Ben Stiller.
Right. It's Ben Stiller. And it says that what this highlights the power of stepping outside of your comfort zone. So even though it's not strictly about real estate, it hints, this is a quote, hints at the significance of physical environments in fostering creative thinking and personal growth.
Absolutely.
So, that's it. That's all.
That's it.
This
is a very short episode. Like I thought you were going to have a long list of questions.
No,
that's it?
That was it. Got to keep it short and sweet.
This
is an episode for traffic on the Palmetto.
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you about one thing. So the film festival that is starting today, do you attend? I used to be a huge fanatic of the Miami Film Festival back when it was in the theater in downtown Miami. I used to love that experience. Have you attended many of the?
I don't go to the whole festival, but my daughter and I usually pick out a movie here and there. I haven't been in the last like 2 years, but I do pick out movies and go. Yeah.
Back in the day when the film festival started, there were movies that you would only be able to see
right.
because of the film festival
right.
that were being brought up. Movies from Latin America, from Europe, from Africa, from all over the world, Middle East. It was really quite the experience. And you know, now it's in multiple venues, so right. you have a little more accessibility. But very interesting and very interesting dynamic of having a city that really has and continues to grow their film. The film business and their place within the film industry. I wanted to just mention that I thought it was really interesting. I just saw the last Captain America movie, and one of the characters went to UM, right? As a character, and the actor is actually from Miami. So it was really interesting. And there's a scene at the end where, and I forget the actual, what he was trying to do, but I think one of the last lines of the movie is the guy's telling him about some idea that he has, some crazy idea. He goes, that's the most Miami thing that you have ever said. So I thought it was, yeah. So I thought it was really cool. Well, anyway, thank you, everybody, for joining us on this shortened drive on the Palmetto episode of Between Two Chairs. I love the drive with the Palmetto series. I think we're going to have to start that.
No.
I love that idea. Anyhow, say bye, Jennifer.
Bye, Jennifer.
Bye, Jennifer.